You are listening to the Remotepreneurs Podcast. Here, you'll learn how to adapt to a new future of doing business remotely by listening to interviews with the new breed of entrepreneurs called Remotepreneurs. Now, welcome your host, a remotepreneur that came from the factories to building multiple location independent incomes all remotely, Philip Ville Stankowski.
Hello, remotepreneurs. This is your host, Philip Ville. I'm still stuck in my home behind my green curtain. At least I have a good background. I suppose you like it. On the other side, we have a fellow digital nomad that decided to stay in Bali. Although we had a mass hysteria with COVID-19, but he decided to stay in Bali and now he enjoys 90% discount on really luxury places there. So he makes really good stories. He's a friend of Andre and Gavin. They will also guest here. They're rocking from Bali. They might not go to the beaches now, but they can enjoy the time to build their business and maybe start some kind of new venture. So today's guest is Yakir. He's also going to speak for the Digital Nomad Summit. Now, obviously, it's going to be probably a Zoom call or some kind of virtual conference. And today we are going to discuss about how to leverage e-commerce so you can produce income if you lost your job or if something changes. Probably now e-commerce is going to be the main, let's say, retail stores as it used to, thanks to the changes that happened with this crisis. He basically was born as a digital nomad because from age of 4, he changed many countries. So he's used to traveling. He's used to living in different cultures. He actually finished a really prestigious university in London called King's College London in international management. But he figured out he's not cut it for corporate world. So he bought one-way ticket to Southeast Asia, tried the digital nomad lifestyle at the beginning. He failed, but after that, he dived deep into e-commerce and dropshipping. And after that, he scaled few dropshipping stores that are 7+ figures a year. So his expertise is Facebook, dropshipping, utilizing Instagram influencer. And I guess Yakir can tell us a little bit more about him. Thanks, Yakir, for being a part of the podcast.
Yeah, thank you very much, Philip, for having me. Excited to be here.
Yeah, I love your story. You and Gavin are doing. You're making a lot of discipline there in Bali.
Yeah. Actually, I consider myself a pretty disciplined person, but now with the whole lockdown, I really see to what extent you can really take discipline. And because there's way less distractions, we create our own distractions, but because there's way less external distractions, I'm really taking the time to really perfect a schedule and integrate the habits. And I'm very lucky to be surrounded by people that think in the same way, have the same mindset, and we really push each other to stay in a routine, working out, working, staying healthy, also incorporating social aspects into our life. But just really thinking of what our main priorities right now are and investing most of our time in achieving our goals.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing. You didn't want to waste your time like most of the world doing, well, nothing or stupid things and memes and, I don't know, clips on Instagram.
Yeah, that's so funny you're saying. I thought once actually of starting a coronavirus meme page because I thought it's going to blow up. But again, it's not a priority. But yeah, it is true. It is true. A lot of people are kind of in... have this mindset right now that they're like a victim of the situation, which to an extent is true. But I think on an individual basis, you can really decide to not be a victim and really take control of your life. Because there are people out there that are taking this time to go really hard into focusing on their goals. Doesn't have to be work, but just at least taking advantage of the time. Because, you know, we always get told that, you know, time is limited in our life. But now we can really see the extent of how much time we really have, because we don't have, like, at least most people don't have their 9-to-5 jobs in their offices that are taking most of their day. They have it empty, so they really need to understand how to maybe create new habits, which is not easy. We know it takes at least some time, but we actually have the time right now to do it. So I really encourage people to take this time to think of their goals and create new habits to achieve them.
And be productive in some way, not to waste time. It was exactly, okay if you waste time first week, but after 2 months, or I don't know how much time they were stuck, but right, it's around 2 months. It's a lot.
It's long, man. Like, and we don't know how long it will last. I don't think it's going to be too long, but like, you can really, with this time, create something, or at least, yeah, be productive, read, and help your family.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Okay, so how can they be productive? Let's talk a little bit about e-commerce, how you enter the water, because e-commerce is going to be basically mandatory now, because people will, I think they will be a little bit skeptical in buying in retail stores, at least in the beginning. And if you have second and third wave, probably that will be the death of retail stores, brick and mortar.
Yeah, so you're saying people will be skeptical in what sense? Like to go there?
Yeah, like entering. A little bit afraid when they will entering the retail stores. It will be much easier with online, and now everybody's stuck at home. Probably they will at least try to buy once if they haven't so far. Yeah. And they will see it's easy. They will receive pretty much everything. And it's like, why go to the store? At least that's what
that's that's a very interesting point, actually. Before I dive into how I got into it and all that, I just want to touch on what you're saying, that people are going to try ordering online. Because I'm a seller online, but I'm not really a consumer. Recently, I discovered Tokopedia, which is like the Amazon of Indonesia. And I wasn't able to use it before because you need a local card. There's ways around, but you need a local card, and I got one. And now I realize how easy it is, and I'm just ordering so many things, like relatively essential things. But I'm like, I just go, I click, I order. Like, I know the process because I create stores for people to do it. But as a consumer, it's very interesting. It makes things way easier. And it really actually helps with my mindset as a seller to really understand the mindset of the consumers and really the convenience of how easy and fast it is to order online. As you're saying, people are definitely going to be more hesitant to go out to retail stores, and they're going to understand the convenience of online buying and how easy it is and how you can really honestly buy almost everything. Even furniture, like anything you want, like big stuff. There's like Wayfair, it's like the biggest furniture store online. So you can really buy everything online, and it's actually a very interesting phase right now for e-commerce in general. It's totally booming. I was just looking today at the stock of Shopify. I've never seen anything like it. They actually said that Shopify said that they're having Black Friday traffic every single day right now. Like, yeah, they are just don't know how to handle it. I have friends that are managing marketing agencies that they've scaled from February to March to April. They're like doubling to tripling every month the revenue. Wow. So it's definitely a very interesting time. I don't know how the trend will go, and if it continues going up like this, then yeah, e-commerce is really at a critical point where it just booms completely, and it might fade away retail, at least certain sectors of it. A lot of people are very interested in dropshipping right now because it's is an easy way in to e-commerce, a relatively low barrier. And I just spoke with my logistics company in China that I use, and they told me that the amount of customers that they're having is something that they've never dealt with before. They need to readjust their strategy by hiring so many more employees, because everyone wants to get in the game, which is good, because the industry will just be flourish and more. And it also doesn't mean that competition will, there's definitely more competition as there's more people involved. But as with every industry, only the people who do it right and don't give up are the ones who are going to succeed. And there used to be around 3% of dropshippers succeed. I think now it's down to less than 1%. So you need to really, and by succeed, I don't mean just being a little bit profitable, but really being able to live off of the business. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's great that more people are coming in the game, but because of how hard it relatively hard to make it work, only the ones that are really gonna go all in are gonna succeed. So yeah, we can talk a bit about how I got into it. So around 2 years ago, what are we now in April? Around 2 years ago, I got interested in the online world and e-commerce because I really realized the trend that how everything is shifting towards the purchasing behavior is shifting towards online, and I got very interested and I started honestly watching a bunch of YouTube videos. And I realized that you don't need much money to start a dropshipping business. So I had a full-time job back then. It was a remote job. I was doing corporate relations for like in a company dealing with innovation. They had like workshops around Europe. I quit, took a one-way ticket to Bali. And I knew a guy that owned a company called Hacker Paradise. And it was like a remote work travel group. And I knew it's like has high level entrepreneurs there. So I decided to reach out to him and ask if I can intern for him, just so I can be surrounded with these people and kind of understand the mindset, how they live their lives, their routine as a digital nomad, things like that. And he let me join. I basically created the role, but I just helped him with anything I know, like create profit loss analysis, competitor analysis, all these things. And I was with them in Bali and in Vietnam. We were traveling around and they kind of covered my costs. And then they didn't really need me anymore. So I decided to move to Chiang Mai, which everyone was telling me is like the Mecca of digital nomads. I am glad I went there. I wouldn't say it's the Mecca of digital nomads. I would say it's the Mecca of maybe beginner digital nomads, which is awesome, actually. Especially for me at that time, because I was a beginner. I went there, I went to all the meetups I could find, the coffee club, whatever. And it was good, but honestly, I realized a lot of people are talking instead of doing over there. Yeah. And it was really hard to find the people that are actually doing it properly. But eventually I found a core group that I realized they're actually doing dropshipping on a high level. And I just became friends with them and I learned as much as I can with them, give them as much value as I can from what I know. And I invested in the business and it was pretty tough, man. In the beginning, I just completely just failed time after time. And not that I wasn't making money, I was just not being profitable. I was not focusing on the right things, on the whole holistic side of the business. Like people think it's just running Facebook ads. It's the main part of it, but you still have like customer support, logistics, customer feedback scores, just branding, all of that. It cannot work without it. But yeah, I ended up spending around 8K and eventually lost it all. So I needed to do something about it. And luckily the guy I was working for before for Hacker Paradise reached out that they needed a full-time employee to be a facilitator. And I really had no, it was like kind of like a miracle, but basically offered me money, which I needed. And I decided to take on the role because I had no choice. It was pretty tough. I was actually dating a girl there and I'm like, do I stay in Chiang Mai? I started a really cool lifestyle, but no, I couldn't. So I just went and did this job. I was traveling with them again. I was in Croatia, moved to Bali with them. And I made a pretty decent salary, nothing crazy. It was like $1,500 plus, so they covered everything else. And I was just using $1,000 to live and $500 I was investing in the business. I found a business partner in Chiang Mai before I left, which we trusted each other. And after like 2-3 months of investing 500 each every month, it just kicked off. And I was in Bali then, and I just quit the full-time job I had with them after 3 months and just went hard into it. And in the past year and a bit, I've just been working like almost nonstop until a few months ago, where we managed to automate it, create a good team, and gain the experience. And since then, things have been very stable. I've been experimenting a lot just because I have capital now. Different strategies, different products, different niches, different markets. And I'm getting a really good grasp of it, of e-commerce in general, not just dropshipping.
Perfect. So tell me, before we talk about, let's automation, advanced stuff, let's start at the beginning. Like, how somebody that is stuck at home can actually start?
Sure.
What's the first step?
Okay. So there's a lot of different aspects to dropshipping, and I'm going to give you a few of my tips. But I think regardless of anything, after what the audience can learn from this, I just want everyone to know that on YouTube, you really have everything. I can recommend some really good people to follow that really break down the whole strategies, because you really need like a few good hours to break it down. But yeah, what I would recommend for people to really dive into this and start is firstly to understand that it's not easy. Like a lot of the gurus say on YouTube, especially that's why you need to know who to follow. It's not as easy as taking $200 and turning it into profit, because that's not really possible these days, or else you're very lucky. What I would recommend is really to think about the situation differently right now, to really think about where we are in the world and how the consumer behavior is, what people are thinking, why will they buy things, and what kind of things they will buy. But it's not like 3 months ago where we are, where we're out and the world is free and people are buying whatever, and all the sectors are working and all the niches are relatively booming. Right now, there's certain niches that are doing really well. And I'll give you some examples. For example, the cooking niche is doing great, because people are home and they're cooking. Home workout niche is absolutely massive. The pet niche, because if you think about it, people are around their pets now all the time. They want to treat them, you know, like buy stuff for them. So these are just some example of niches.
I can assume.
Medical is great. I personally haven't dealt with it. It's just a bit more difficult, because of the regulations behind it. Like, for example, if you think of the most logical things to sell right now, would be face masks and hand sanitizers.
Yeah, and toilet paper. Yeah.
And toilet paper. Man, I should create like a cool toilet paper brand, like made of like sustainable material. But Facebook doesn't allow you to run any ads that have masks, hand sanitizers, and some others around that niche. So they're basically not letting you exploit the virus for e-commerce gains. Why they're doing it? Just because people are exploiting it, or behind the scenes, the big players are selling these things and they don't want the small players to have a piece of the pie. It's just a speculation. I think that's a part of it. But yeah, just thinking of it like this, think of products that people actually need right now. And that will make things way easier to enter. So the most common way of running dropshipping stores is using Shopify as a host. Shopify is a great platform to create websites. You don't need to know any coding. There's built-in themes where it's almost like drag and drop. And if you're having a little bit of an issue, you can reach out to the customer support. I think Shopify has one of the best customer supports in the world, based on my experience dealing with customer support. They're always out there, they'll respond quickly, and they'll help you deal with your matter. So create a Shopify store. Shopify used to have a 14-day free plan. Now they give 3-month free plan based on the current situation. So you can go ahead and take your time and create a store. I wouldn't take too long because you can honestly create a store in 1-2 days. I would start getting involved in like dropshipping groups so you can at least start seeing and feeling what other people are doing, and go into dropshipping stores that are currently running, and go through the whole funnel. Funnel is basically the customer journey from, let's say, when they land on the website. It can start before, from the ad, from the land on the website till you purchase. So just click add to cart, initiate checkout, and then drop off. Do this as many times as you can in dropshipping stores, and then Facebook will consider you a potential customer for dropshipping products, and then it will start showing you dropshipping ads. And seeing dropshipping ads is one of the best ways to really learn and have good start getting experience with actually what's working. And honestly, like, without going into too many details, if you see an ad that has really good engagement and like millions of views, then they're spending a lot of money on it, and there's no reason for them to do it if they're not profitable.
So that works. So you just like go backwards, like replicate the ad.
Exactly. And and especially if you're new into the game, there is no reason to start to reinvent the wheel. I definitely do things on a more advanced level, but I just find products that work. And I do the same. I have some products that are very unique that we found that are new, and we have a good marketing angle for them. But if the product is working and it's evergreen, like let's take a very generic dropshipping product, the Posture Corrector. It's this is an evergreen product. There's always going to be people with back problems, and you can sell that for years. You can like sell it, try it again next year. It's going to work. New people are in this world. New people are running the same things. I wouldn't necessarily start with a super generic product, but one that is a broad product, and you don't need to do too many thinking about finding the audience for it. So yeah, you create a Shopify store, find the right product, and make it neat. Don't spend too much time on this. This sounds very basic, but I would repeat it again just because I went through this, I don't want to call it mistake, but through this phase, and most of the people I know went through it, where they spend too much time trying to perfect their store and making it look super branded. You just need to have a decent theme, make it look legit, good add to cart button, good trust badges, and that decent copy, and just make it look clean, and you're good to go. There are some free themes like Debut that you get from Shopify that people have made millions of dollars on. So I would do that, and the next step is finding a good supplier. You just go on AliExpress, to be honest, and you find a supplier that has a good review on the product you're looking for, and good reviews on the store, and a decent amount of orders, so you know he is at least reliable. A little issue with AliExpress right now, especially because it's still like a place where the sellers are middlemen, they're getting it from cheaper sources, is that the prices are going really high, especially for shipping, and it's not really anyone's fault. It's the couriers are just charging a lot of money for shipping worldwide right now. So you can be a bit more advanced and find like a 3PL, which is a logistics company. And a good one for beginners is called CJ Dropshipping. I don't use them anymore because I have a better one, but you need a minimum order quantity for them. But CJ Dropshipping is way better than AliExpress. They will source anything you need for a cheaper price. And they usually do a quality control on it, which is great. So if you have that site sorted, and your store sorted, honestly, you're not far from getting things going. Two other parts that are very critical to the business. One is payment processors. And before, like 2 years ago, and even before, people could just launch a store, put some payment processor, start making sales. And once it's profitable, you know, you then you're like, okay, this is serious. Let me create a business and all that. But things are not like that anymore. You can be lucky and run some traffic and get sales and later create a business. But the main payment processors like PayPal, Shopify Payments, or Stripe, they usually will not let you start your business without a officially registered company.
Okay.
I'm not an expert in registering companies, but I can recommend a blog called freedomsurfer.com. A guy called Simon from France runs it, and he's experienced with opening companies anywhere in the world. I actually opened my recent company. I used to be established in Singapore, but now I opened a UK LLP. It took me 1 week and 300 euros. So it's not much of an investment. And once you have all those going, the next part is just driving traffic to your website and getting it to convert and optimizing both your website in order for conversions to be higher, and also your ads for the cost per clicks to be lower, so that basically the cost per click to your website is cheap. And that is done by good marketing, good creatives, good copy, and also persuading marketing, like where people see a product and they want to buy it right away. The thing about dropshipping from AliExpress is or China is just that it's mostly low ticket items. So, and by low ticket, I mean between 30 to 60 bucks USD. So it's the main thing is to really create an impulsive reaction in the customer and get them to buy on the spot. Most customers don't buy on the spot, but then you retarget them with ads. So yeah, the main thing is really creating really good and engaging ads. And honestly, it took me like all this time, like a year and a half, to really get to the place where I am in terms of creativity with my marketing. But there is a friend of mine, John Yoon. He actually has the best YouTube page, in my opinion, on dropshipping. And he has a video, I can link it later on, where he shows from A to Z how he makes his own creatives, which he's made seven figures on. And I personally use the same process, and it works.
Simple as it. So basically,
exactly. So basically
for beginners, they should start with YouTube, trusted source, yeah. Not bullshit that just repeating somebody else that never actually run a store or made it successful. Then yeah. Don't reinvent the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
In some way, test out the. Don't make the perfect. That's something that I think people will do. Like make the store perfect,
yeah.
Optimize everything before that, automate everything before that. The most important is just to run some kind of sales, and after that, we'll go to the fancy and advanced stuff.
Exactly. Like people will be surprised. Like. You don't need a super amazing website to make sales. You need to be trusted. There are so many people. Exactly. Like someone sees an ad for a pet product. He probably has a pet, like he's targeted by Facebook. So he probably sees other stores selling or the same product or similar products in the niche. You need to really convince him to buy from you. And yes, a nice website can definitely help and will help in the long term, improving a little percentage on the conversion, but that's more advanced stuff to improve the 1.5%. That's something you need when you're scaling. But honestly, they just need to trust you. And something that helps is reviews, for sure. Yes, you cannot have official reviews in the beginning. And let's be honest here, almost all stores online use fake reviews. We cannot argue with that, but you can think of it in a logical and relatively fair way. Like, let's say, for example, you're using a certain supplier from China. If that supplier has reviews, like official reviews of the product, and you use those reviews, yes, those are not reviews that are from people that bought on your store, but they are actually real reviews of that specific product. So I don't want to tell people here to start faking reviews, but I don't want to lie that not everyone's doing them. Because in dropshipping, I don't know anyone that's not doing that, to be honest.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, it's true. Like I personally, the way I do it is as I said, if I start a new store and I want reviews that will help my conversions, I'll get reviews from my supplier. So it's actually reviews of that specific product. I'm not really lying. And as soon as I get a bunch of sales, I do requests from reviews from my customers, and then I slowly integrate them and fade them in and fade out to the ones from my supplier. So after like a couple of months, it's all real reviews from my website. Okay.
Fair enough. How do you make somebody to leave a review? I think leaving a review, it's ridiculous. Like leaving a review on my podcast, it's even to asking for a friend that's close. He's like, yeah, I'll leave it. And they never do.
Yeah, you're right. It's not easy to do it. So I use an app called Looks. It's one of the most popular apps on Shopify to add reviews. And they have a really good system, and that you can create through them automated email flows that, like, let's say 1 month after the customer ordered the product, they receive an email where it asks them about the product, how they feel about it, and to send the photo and write a little review about it. Now, when I started doing that, I was getting some reviews here and there, but as you're saying, no, it's doesn't really work so well. So you need to add some sort of incentive. And the incentive we would add is we would give a percentage, a discount code for the store. We run actually mostly one product stores. So for the person to get a discount on that store, it doesn't really make too much sense. So we would frame it in a way where they can, if they really love the product, they can give the discount code to their friend. And if it's a store that we have that it's like a big store, actually my most successful store, which I recently closed just because I'm moving on, was a clothing store, and it was pretty big. There, when we gave a discount code, people would, that would be more than enough for them. And we would give a pretty big one. We'd give one that's like 30%. And with that, I'm at least getting a higher percentage of them coming back plus the review.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah, that's how I do it.
Why would somebody close a successful store? Like you were making money on it, or it just like dried out? Like,
good question. So this store of mine, it was a streetwear store, and it was actually my first successful store with my business partner that I had, and it went on for a year and a half, and we did 7 figures just on that store alone in revenue, and it got to a point where we were creating a brand. We had like, I don't know, 80,000 followers on Instagram, nothing bought. And that was not the goal. And in order to the product that we were selling, we had to always find new products, which was fine. But the main reason I stopped the business is just because me and after working together, and we could have sold the company. We still can. But that involves, selling the company, sitting for a few months with the buyers. It's really not an easy business, clothing. I think it's the easiest niche in terms of, because it's the biggest niche online, but it's the hardest niche to deal with because there's sizing involved. There's a 10% return rate on average in the industry. Even big companies like Zara, H&M, we actually had less, but around like 8%, and it's just adds a different element to the business. And I'm really focused more about simplicity nowadays in terms of dropshipping. I run one product stores only. I just realized with the amount of time I would invest in finding a buyer, really dealing with, I don't say headache, but could be a potential headache, like all the questions from them, a few months teaching them the system, migrating my team to them. I can definitely make more money and be more profitable with new stores and new ventures.
Nice, nice. Okay. That's fair enough question. I think that that's a common theme with digital nomads. They try to make it as simple as possible with less headache and et cetera. I had, for example, many ideas what I can start. But before I started, I just think about all the headaches, like you said, like, oh, it's sizing, it's return, it's this and that. It's like, oh, it's not worth it. Even if I build it in a few years, like, I won't like it because I will have to do a lot of work. So I guess we are looking for something that brings money, but we will still have a freedom, some kind.
Yeah, it's actually very interesting. When I stopped working with my business partner, which was like 2 months ago, I thought maybe I'll stop drop shipping. Not stop e-commerce, but move into the next level where I create my own long-term brand. Because I am super excited for the point to come where I find that one product or niche that I want to build a long-term sustainable brand in and really use all my skill to it. That hasn't come yet, but it's with dropshipping right now because I decided to stay in the game, mainly because of the situation of e-commerce right now and because I already have the skills. My aim in dropshipping is to automate it as much as possible and make it as simple as possible. And I'm learning from like big players in the game that have really done that. And yeah, it's definitely possible, and that's what I strive for, as you said. Like a lot of digital nomads, they decided this life because they know that it's possible to achieve a certain level of freedom. But what is actually freedom? You know, a lot of digital nomads I see are still grinding, and so did I in the co-workings day to night. So yeah, you're not working in an office and you're not under an employer, but a lot still work really hard, and that's why I strive to really have a deep balance and automate as much as possible.
Yeah, makes sense. Tell me when people should think about automating, like what are the steps? Beginner step, 10K. Advanced step, 100K in revenue in month. Like how are the steps or the milestones?
Sure. It's interesting you were talking about money, because you can think of it in terms like that, because you need, in order to automate, you need money. Because you need to hire people or create systems. But a good way to look at it, in my opinion, firstly, you need to be profitable. That's first thing. As soon as you're profitable and you think you have enough money to hire an employee, then you should do it. A mistake I see a lot of people doing it, and I also did the same, is they want full control of the business. They want to deal with everything. They're afraid to let go of some aspects of it because maybe they don't trust an employee they'll hire, or they feel they can handle it all. Honestly, you can handle it all, but you won't be able to scale. There is no way you can scale a company and, for example, like do six figures a month in revenue and still do customer support. There's no way. You're going to work day to night. You'll burn out. You'll focus on non-essential things. So I think the first hire that needs to happen in dropshipping, in my opinion, is a customer support agent. Customer support is a very redundant, it's a very repetitive task. You know, you're dealing with customers who are asking mostly the same questions, and it's not like by you responding to customers, you're not really growing your business. You're keeping it running, and you're doing what needs to be done in a business. And honestly, just for a reference point, you can't do dropshipping anymore without a good customer support, because whenever you run Facebook ads nowadays, they have a ranking that they give your Facebook page, which is based on, what's it called again? Customer... what's the name?
Satisfaction rate, something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Customer satisfaction rate. And basically, every customer that purchased from your website going through Facebook after a few weeks, you decide how much it is. I would recommend to push that as furthermost as Facebook gives you, which is 8 weeks. The default is 4 weeks, especially because when you start a new dropshipping store until you establish a supplier relation, the first batch of orders takes a bit longer to establish the link with the factory. So you don't want Facebook to start asking your customers for feedback before they receive their product. Even though nowadays it shouldn't take more than 2 weeks to receive products from China. It's getting way faster. Mine is average like 5 to 12 days. You won't be able to sustain a dropshipping store for more than like 2 months without good customer service, because you'll just receive a low feedback score. You'll get penalized by Facebook. It'll be harder to run ads and more expensive, and you just won't be profitable. So the first hire would be a customer support agent. And I'm changing my strategy, which we can get into. I'm hiring almost only Filipinos, because they are actually really good in English, and you don't need to pay them much compared to Western wages and how much you can make with e-commerce. I used to pay my agents between $300 to $500, and $500 is really, really high for a customer support agent. I just paid him that much because he's been working with me for a long time. But you can actually hire an agent part-time for actually $150. And you hire a customer support agent, create SOPs, just like standard operating procedures or like custom templates of how to reply to the customers. And then you have that out the way, and you don't need to think. You need to monitor them, but you don't need to think about customer support. So that'll be the first hire.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. Mm-hmm. What's next?
So after you hire a customer support agent, depending how fast you scale, if you're scaling really fast, and it's possible these days, if you have a good Facebook strategy and a very good creative, another option is to hire another customer support agent, just so you have two really in shifts, night and day, if you want to offer a 24/7 customer support. And honestly, we all know, because we're all customers, if we buy online, we want to get fast answers. So it's good to also have two customer support agents that work around the clock, maybe 8-hour shifts or 5 and 5. I don't know, however suits you. And after you have them going, it really depends on your goals. If you want to have only one store and you already have a solid creative for it, then you don't need anyone to really help you too much with the creative side. But if you want to go big, I think the next hire should be a video editor that helps you create videos to run on Facebook. And honestly, most dropshipping stores, they don't create their own content. They recycle content online, but you need to be pretty creative with it so you don't get penalized for plagiarism. But you find clips of websites already going, you add good subtitles, good copy. And that's a very important hire, because if you hire someone that can really spin videos for you really quickly. And I used to have, again, someone from the Philippines that I used to pay him $20 a video. Now I pay him $40 just because he's been working with me for a while and I have a few. If you find someone like that, it can help you scale faster. And apart from that, you can hire someone that will be an intermediary between you and the logistics company. This is a part-time job, just to make sure that all the logistics is working in line, everything is being shipped. If there's any cancellations, they're the ones that are getting the note from the customer support agent that there's a cancellation, or a request to change a color or a variant, and they are the ones that are your link between you and the logistics company. And if you trust them, you can also get them to do payments for the logistics company. And honestly, man, you can run a store just like that. You don't need more than that.
Fair enough. Just yeah. curious, what would happen? I'm just guessing now, mm-hmm. a little bit conspiracy. What would happen mm-hmm. if, let's say, Western world make some kind of penalization to trade with China? Like, what would happen with, because most of the people are buying from China and dropshipping works like that. It works perfectly fine, mm-hmm. but what happened if, let's say, Trump says, like, screw you, we don't buy any products from China 1 year?
Interesting.
It's possible. It's possible with this current situation and with Trump.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a definitely a valid point. And last year, I think the end of 2019, mm-hmm. This was a main case. Trump wanted to stop the trade, you know, between China yeah. And yeah, there was a big buzz in the dropshipping world. People were worried, what do you do? When something like that arises, I personally, I'm never scared or anything because we're all in the same boat. So someone's going to figure out a solution. We're going to all do it. But yeah, let's say, for example, are we talking about the US specifically or the Western world?
Western world. Because they Western can say the case that that they're doing now with Trump, it's basically yeah. they're saying that, and that's true, the Chinese didn't react fast enough, didn't inform the world, and they were like 6 weeks. So deliberately, they were a little bit delaying. And they can say, like, because of you, if the world got together, they can say you cost us trillions of dollars of fine. Mm-hmm, you need mm-hmm. to pay us at least 50% or something like that. And instantly Chinese, like in war, you need to pay war retribution.
Yeah, yeah. That's a very interesting point. And yeah, I did hear about Trump saying, well, at least reacting that the Chinese were late. So let's say the Western world stops right now. We're talking about Europe and North America. A good way to do it, if you want to continue dropshipping, is think of other markets. And this is actually very tough, because if you think about Asian markets or South American markets, it's a totally different ballgame. There's very big and great markets in both of those continents, such as Brazil, which is amazing, or like in Asia, you have Philippines. Mm-hmm. Filipinos are addicted to social media more than any nation. They actually have, when you buy a SIM card in the Philippines, one of the options which most people get is only Facebook. You can only use Facebook with the SIM, with the internet. Okay. So they're only on Facebook. And I have some people I know who are dropshipping in the Philippines. But again, with these markets, South America and Asia, the main difference is it's mostly cash on delivery. And that means you need to start ordering stock. You need to have a logistics company locally. You need to be ready to have 15% who are not going to actually pay you. They're going to order, but they're not going to pay for certain reasons. And this is a different ballgame. Whether I would go there and start doing it if this is the case, I don't know. But this is a solution I can think of. Another solution is to find suppliers in the US and or in Europe. And there's actually many right now. The prices are higher. And if something like this happens, they would even go higher. But that's another option, to find suppliers in the Western world.
Yeah, okay. There is always a solution. Mm-hmm. But it will be interesting to see that, like, it will be a different world. Definitely.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, actually, like, you know, I was asking if you were talking about mainly the US or not, because I'm testing now actually running stores in more unsaturated markets. Like I pick markets in Europe, which definitely still have a high purchasing power, for instance, Germany or France, and I create a store in the local language. And have everything in the local language. The customer support agent in the local language, everything is, let's say, in German. And that gives you relatively less competition. Also, you can take a proven concept that's working in the US, like a store that's working in the US, don't necessarily duplicate it in Germany, but you can almost like do it similar, different branding and all, and just cheaper ad costs. And honestly, most of the people that I know that are doing the biggest numbers, well, they're doing worldwide, but apart from like three that I know personally, the others that are doing really well are all doing this way. They find like a market in Europe, for example, Germany, do a store. If it works, instead of creating a new store that's a completely new product, duplicate that store into French and into Spanish and into Dutch, and you have four different markets, four different stores. Yeah, you cannot scale as high because you have less of an audience, but it's actually, I would recommend this to beginners, especially if they are from that local country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's quite an interesting idea. It's a little bit like a blue ocean strategy in some way.
It is. You're right.
Yeah. Okay. Tell me, after they build the automation and everything, can you touch a little bit what's the lifestyle? What's the end goal? Because everybody is doing the hard work to come at the end.
Yeah. So I actually initially got into dropshipping and e-commerce or anything that I can work online, mainly for the lifestyle. I wanted to achieve what you can call freedom and be able to live on my own terms, decide my own schedule, focus on the things I want without anyone telling me what to do. And it took some time, and I feel like after like a year and a half doing this properly, only now I'm really, really starting to feel like I can do what I want and I have the capital for it and really take the time to focus on what gives me energy rather than drains my energy. Also within the business itself and life in general, it's something that I learned from Bernd Harnisch. I went to a talk of his. He runs this group called EO, Entrepreneur Owner Organization, and it helped me a lot with my business and my business partners. Actually, if there's a task that drains my energy and one of my business partners it doesn't drain him or maybe it gives him energy, then you know, you switch it up. But right now I'm living here in Bali. I have an amazing villa, which I'm saying it from a place where I first of all want people to know that, and people who follow me have probably seen where I live. I live in an absolutely gorgeous villa, but I'm not paying so much. I'm probably paying less than what most people pay in London or in big cities in Europe for a pretty small apartment. So firstly, I just want people to know that it's possible to get out of your comfort zone and move out to this side of the world. Bali is a place that for me offers me the best lifestyle right now. And I live in an amazing place and I surround myself with very inspiring people that really push me and really care about me and help me grow and have similar values. And this has been something that helped me along my journey, actually, also with the dropshipping and really being surrounded by people that are doing better than me and just learning from them as much as I can and exchanging value with other things I can give them. But yeah, I have this place, I have amazing friends. I go to my dream gym facility. It's called Nirvana. It's a calisthenics gym. It's amazing. I travel around the island on weekends, eat amazing food in great restaurants. And I still have the time to continue working on myself, spiritual sides of things, and still growing my business. And I try to invest as much of my time and my money strategically to really help me grow in many areas of my life, but especially business. Like I go to masterminds, which cost quite a bit. Like the next mastermind I want to go in, probably not this year. I don't think it's going to happen. But next year there is a mastermind by these brothers called the Tan Brothers. They're successful nine-figure dropshippers. And their mastermind costs $10,000 for a few days. And I have not dropped that much yet on a mastermind, but I know that going to that mastermind will probably help me return, first of all, return that investment, I think in a matter of a couple of weeks, based on what I learned there, but also push me to grow my business. I don't know, I don't want to say tenfold, but twofold is good enough, but probably more. So really investing my money in whatever will help me grow in business, spirituality, fitness, and yeah.
So it's worth it.
It's definitely worth it. And honestly, I understand if people are hesitant to do things like that, because I was the same. Actually, you tell me to drop 10K on Mastermind 2 years ago, I would think it's absolute bonkers. But nowadays, I really see like the benefit of these things. Yeah, like recently, I was in an event in Croatia, actually, with Gavin, Andrew, and a bunch of people. Actually, I know I wasn't there. Gavin, a bunch of people called Mind Valley University. And Mind Valley is just an organization that focuses on self-development. And just going there, I don't know, it wasn't expensive. It was like 3K for a month. Just going there, just to be around those kind of people is just amazing. And yeah, I'm just very excited to find whatever the next mastermind that will really help boost me. Like, there's ones that are for business, or there's another one, for example, called Baby Bathwater, which is just just like a networking event of a few days. But the ticket is like 8K. And I think the main thing about that price ticket, that creates like a filter. Not just a filter about who can afford it, but really who has the mindset to pay that much. And it really creates a very interesting core group of people that you can network with and create great relationships for the future. And, you know, like it's not something you would need right now. Maybe 5 years down the line, you met this guy that works in a certain niche and you are working in that niche now and he's successful. You know, it can really help you just creating like really good networking relationships for the future.
Yeah, definitely. I agree there with you. Pretty much it's pay to play in some way, but it's not the point with money. It's, as you said, I like that. It's like a filter. If it's free, everybody will come. You will not get any value. If it's like less, let's $100, again, a lot of people can come. But 8K, probably they have to be successful.
Exactly.
Nobody will spend that much money if they don't want to be successful or you don't have, let's say, similar mindset.
Yeah, exactly. And the mindset is very important. Like, I don't go to these events, or in general in life, I don't like find someone, I'm like, oh my God, he's so successful, and like, let me like connect with him. Like, my first mindset when I meet someone that I want to connect with is honestly, I first think about how I can provide value to them. Because it's like, there's a lot of reciprocity. And I don't really go just by the law, like, oh my God, I gave him value, he's going to give me value. But if you come from a genuine place, it works. And yeah, a book that I read actually that helped me a lot with networking is a very generic book. It's How to Win Friends and Influence People.
My first book.
That's amazing, man. Like, I read it at least 2 times a year just because I just need a refresher. And yeah, it's just very basic concepts. And for me, the main thing is honestly to really listen to what people have to say. Make them feel important in a genuine way and provide as much value as you can. Because you can always provide value to anyone. Even if there's someone that's like a multimillionaire and you put him on a pedestal because he's this and that, there's something that you have as a person that can definitely help him. Whether it's a small like piece of value or offering your heart or like something you've learned that he can take and integrate into his life. Maybe he won't, but that's the way I think of things, and it's helped me a lot. Like, have very close relationships around it.
Perfect. Yeah, definitely make sense. I think that's the way you should grow. Surround yourself with people that have same mindset, and if possible, they are a little bit higher level than you are. You will grow much faster.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's good to be, you know, they say it's good to be the dumbest person in the room.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's good to be the dumbest person in the thing you want to learn from.
Yeah, not like true.
True.
I wanted to hang out with you guys in Bali, but I guess only Zoom calls are fine enough.
For now. Are you gonna aim to head out this way after everything's done?
Yeah, I mean, if it's still people there, yeah. I don't know when it's going to be the normal thing.
Yeah, yeah. I think the borders here will open relatively soon. By soon, I mean like maybe end of May, hopefully. And I don't think everyone's going to come right away, but I think it will be a good time to come when it opens because the island's still relatively empty. We're here. We're going to be here for a while.
Perfect, perfect. Well, we'll stay in touch. Gavin, and Andre will grab a beer and we'll
for
talk
sure, man. Looking
bit.
Forward.
Yeah, likewise, likewise. Okay, well, thank you for being part of the podcast. Tell me where people can find you.
Sure. I'm not super active right now on social media, but I'm actually looking to get a bit more active on Instagram just because it's a platform that I have some content in and I don't really see myself going into TikTok. so let's keep it at on Instagram right now. So it's Instagram.com/YakirStarosta, which is just my full name. You can link it down in the description.
Yeah, perfect. Okay. Well, guys, thank you for listening to the podcast. I'm going to include an extensive show note and what we learned from Yakir here. Also, the video, he can give me the link that he explained from the person that goes from A to Z how to build at least a beginner Shopify store, and hope that while you're locked down, you will do some productive and some of you are going to at least try to build your own store. Maybe it will work for you if you don't quit.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Exactly. Never quit.
Yeah, never quit. Okay. And go to remotepreneurs.com and also at remotepreneurs. Just leave your email. I'm going to send you the email with the show notes and everything and notify you when this is going to be live. Okay. Thanks, guys. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Thanks for listening. Subscribe to the podcast to be the first to hear new episodes. And if you feel that this episode provided you with value, we invite you to share this podcast with a friend that is trying to escape the matrix and create his or her own remote economy. Visit remotepreneurs.com and join the email list to receive this episode's show notes and a welcoming gift.